In an effort to boost pay for lower-income workers, the Obama administration is proposing making millions of additional Americans eligible for overtime pay. In a recent op-ed in the Huffington Post, President Obama said, "Right now, too many Americans are working long days for less pay than they deserve." The president is planning on speaking more about his plan during a trip to Wisconsin this week. Some business groups say the plan will ultimately hurt the people it aims to help. Our next guest, though, says it's about time to update overtime policies and that it'll protect more workers from being taken advantage of by employers. Ross Eisenbry is with us now. He's vice president of the Economic Policy Institute, and he's the former policy director of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Ross, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
So what would change specifically in the president's new proposal here?
Well, the most important thing that changes is the salary threshold below which a worker is guaranteed to have overtime pay, regardless of his or her duties. Under current law, there is there's a very low salary threshold. It's $455 a week. And only 3.4 million salaried workers earn less than that. So that's all the people who are guaranteed overtime pay on the basis of their low salary. This would raise it to $50,440 in 2016, and that would add about 15 million more people to this automatic protection where they would know that they were entitled to overtime pay, even though they're paid a salary, regardless of their duties. So if their employer says you're an assistant manager or you're a shift supervisor or you're a professional, it doesn't matter what they call you. They have to pay you a professional salary, which the Department of Labor is setting at $50,440 a year.
So when this original law was passed, people who worked hourly generally were eligible for overtime. Why were some salaried people exempted? What was the intent of saying, okay, if you're salaried over this level, you can't do overtime?
Well, the notion actually was that salaried workers were entitled. There were lots and lots of people who were working as clerks big insurance companies and banks and businesses, tellers and so forth, who were very low paid. And even though they were paid on a salary basis, though. So the rule was they're all entitled to overtime except the bosses, except administrators, professional employees, and the managers of these operations. It was meant to be a very small group who were exempt. Everyone else was supposed to get overtime pay. Over the years, that protection has eroded to the point that now only 8% of salaried employees are protected by this salary threshold, who are guaranteed overtime pay on the basis of their salary alone.
So is the argument that, in effect, employers are using this as a loophole? I'm going to call some of my employees, say, at a fast food restaurant, a shift supervisor, give them a salary fairly low, and then I can work them as many hours as they can take.
That's exactly right. And, in fact, I have in front of me from the National Retail Federation a list of occupations, and they are saying that their first-line supervisors out of 1.1 million 994,000 of them are exempt from being paid overtime pay. And, that a lot of them are paid very little. In fact, most of them are paid less than the salary threshold.
Well, and speaking of...
So just in the restaurant and retail industry, 750,000 people will become entitled to overtime pay.
And the National Retail Federation not wild about this idea. They told the Associated Press that member businesses could still find other ways to cover these hours without paying overtime, without benefiting the people, in effect, that the president says he wants to help. They could hire more workers to work part-time, cut the hours of salaried workers. So, in effect, they're saying, hey, this isn't going to help people. We'll have more lower-paid workers. We're not going to end up paying these people more necessarily.
Well, but that it's still a help to them to go from working 60 hours a week to go to 40 hours a week and be paid the same amount is a great thing for you as a manager. You now have more time for your family, more time for your life. You weren't being paid for those extra 20 hours anyway. So your life is just measurably better. And those hours that you were working and not being paid for are, as they suggested, shifted to lower paid hourly employees who need the work. And the Retail Federation itself said that this would create tens of thousands of jobs in their industry, 76,000 jobs in their industry alone.
This would, though, it sounds like, increase labor costs for a number of businesses. They'd have to pay more. I mean, that's going to be maybe bad for their bottom line. We could see some businesses having to maybe close a franchise here and there, couldn't we?
I don't think that that's very likely, but in fact, that I really want to push back against that kind of thinking. Cutting labor costs has been sort of a mantra of the business community for years. As a result, wages have stagnated or fallen. Actually, the entry-level wage for even college-educated workers is lower today than it was in 2000. If we keep looking for ways only to cut labor costs and not force businesses, essentially, to share the gains, you know, the profits, the revenues that they bring in, we will continue to have exactly what we've had over the last decade or so, which is skyrocketing CEO pay, the top 1% taking all the gains in the economy, and working people being left with nothing.
Talking to Ross Eisenbray from the Economic Policy Institute, looking at President Obama's call to change the threshold for the people who are eligible for overtime pay. Currently, people making an annual salary in the low $20,000s, that's the cutoff. This would bring it up to the about $50,000 a year to say, if you are in many of these positions, you work overtime at that level, you are eligible to be paid. You're required to be paid overtime. Now, the president, Ross, has been saying this is something that would boost the middle class or help some people not in the middle class make their way up to it. How much of a difference maker do you see this particular law being?
Well, it will make a difference. The Labor Department is saying that it will be a transfer in the first year of $1.3 billion from the owners of businesses to their workers. So that's a substantial wage increase. It's not a game-changing wage increase, but I think it's also important to think about if an employer doesn't have to pay for your extra time, they won't be very careful with it. If you don't have to pay for something, you're less careful with it. They're more likely to waste it, and this means wasting your time and your life. So just as a basic labor standard, a way to preserve the 40-hour work week, I think this is incredibly important, even more important than the number of dollars that it puts into people's pockets, is just preserving people's time with their families, for themselves, to be active in politics, whatever it is.
And it's been a long time since that lower threshold was put into place. And am I right on this? If it had accounted for inflation between now and then, about that $50,000 mark would be where it would be?
Yeah. If in 1975, way back in the Ford administration, they set it at a level which today would be about the equivalent of this $50,000 level that the president has chosen. It eroded for about 29 years. The Bush administration actually bumped it up a little, but just barely over the poverty line. And today, it's actually the salary threshold is below a poverty line for a family of four. So, yeah, it's been a long, like a 40-year, almost unbroken erosion of the overtime protections.
We're talking about President Obama's plan to expand overtime pay in the United States, raise the threshold of salary for salaried employees to make more people eligible for overtime pay. Our guest is Ross Eisenbray of the Economic Policy Institute. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you like this idea? Do you agree with it? Or do you have objections to it? Do you think it's good for the middle class? Or are you worried about employers maybe cutting back on hours on staff, relying more on part-time work? If you're an employer, how do you think this would affect you? Would you welcome this change? Would it affect your business for good or bad? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking about President Obama's plan to expand overtime pay in the United States. The plan would extend overtime pay for millions of Americans in salaried positions. He'll be in Wisconsin later this week to pitch that project. What do you think of the idea? Good plan for the middle class, maybe bringing more people into the middle class, more worker fairness, as our guest says, or could this backfire, hurt the people it's supposed to help? Give a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Ross Eisenbrace stays with us from the Economic Policy Institute. We'll go right to our callers. We've got Katie on the line in Appleton. Katie, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
What do you think?
I think it's a. I understand the fairness approach. I've got a practicality question. We've got salaried employees in our workforce who are hired to achieve a certain outcome. And their workflow doesn't lend itself easily to hourly punching in, punching out. Is there any thoughts on how that might be accommodated to handle the overtime, or was there any consideration that you know of placed on the objectives of the work?
Katie, thanks for the call. Ross, how would that be handled?
Well, I'm not sure what the nature of the job is, so it's a little hard to talk about it, but people will, if they're working off-site, will be required to keep track, and, you know, that could be done through their mobile devices, or it could be done through the laptop that they're using, if they're using one. I'm not sure exactly what the issue is, but, you know, people are creative and inventive, and they'll find a way to track the time if they're required to do it.
And there would still be, for people making over that threshold, there'd still be that category of salaried professionals, consultants, technical people, things like that, who would still be exempt, who wouldn't have to track hours in that way.
That's right. If anyone makes more than $50,440, then their entitlement to overtime depends on their job duties.
Katie, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Clarence in Watertown. Clarence, hi.
Good afternoon. I'm a self-employed businessman. I have one full-time and several part-time, and I think, yes, this would definitely hurt the people that's supposed to help. We only pay overtime, or actually pay time and a half on the holidays, Easter, Christmas, and Thanksgiving, and that's it. Before I would pay overtime or time and a half, I would either reduce the workforce or actually cut the scope, the size of the business. And I think we need to kind of reduce the power of the labor unions in the state rather than increase it, reduce the power of organized labor just in general.
Clarence, thanks for the call. A couple issues there. First of all, he's saying as a business person, before he pays this overtime, he'd rather cut staff or cut the scope of his operation. Do you think that could be a problem for business people like Clarence, Ross?
Well, you know, all of these things, it's always hard to say what is his business? What is he paying people now? Why is it fair to work somebody, he didn't say how long, but, you know, to pay somebody $25,000 a year and make them work 60 hours a week? I mean, people do that, but it's wrong. I think the president is right to outlaw it and say that those people have to be paid overtime.
And Clarence, do we still have you on the line? I mean, does that happen?
We're in dairy farming. We're in dairy farming. We got 40 hours in by noon on Wednesday. And, yeah, my full-time guy puts in about, I bet you he puts in about 85 hours a week.
I mean, does that feel unfair, Clarence, if you're not paying him overtime for that extra time?
No, we work it out other ways. We have other benefits. They had been getting a house. The house is furnished. It has heat and light.
Okay, so it's kind of a unique situation, it sounds like, providing other benefits there. But Ross, we'll get away from that specific situation. I want to get to other Clarence's point. Is this, you know, a labor union type issue? Is this something that organized labor is pushing for here?
Certainly organized labor supports it because it's improving the rights for working people, but it was not proposed first by labor unions, and I think most of the support for it is coming from a large coalition of groups ranging from women's groups, because they are most likely to benefit from this rule, to civil rights organizations and people who just are interested in the welfare of the middle class.
Talking to Ross Eisenbray from the Economic Policy Institute, looking at President Obama's proposal, his administration's proposal, to change the threshold for overtime pay for salaried employees. It would add a number of millions of people to eligibility for overtime pay. Back to our callers now with Jesus in Walworth. Jesus, hi.
Hello, how are you doing today? I totally agree with that, but I would say I would like to see this to push a little bit further. Big corporations diminish the profit sharing for the hourly people. And I would like to see an obligatory profit sharing program of 1 month's pay to all the hourly employees, because that was taken away a long time ago. And these companies are given huge amounts of money, millions, to their CEOs. Well, they can take just a little bit of that money and give it to the hourly persons. That's all my comment.
Jesus, thanks for the call. So this would be a different idea, Ross, mandating profit sharing for employees. Is there talk of that? Is there a desire for that kind of mandate?
Well, I haven't heard that. Certainly not part of the president's program, mm-hmm. and no part of this overtime regulation that we're talking about. And frankly, I guess I haven't heard that as something that anyone in Washington, D.C. is proposing to mandate. Personally, I just haven't given it enough thought to comment.
Jesus, thanks for the call. The intent, though, of this legislation would address some of what Jesus is looking for, more corporate profits ultimately going to employees.
Yeah, and this is an enormous problem in the United States. I agree with his sentiment. The share of our gross national product that goes to labor, you know, to compensate people for their work is diminishing year after year after year. And it's going instead to the owners of the businesses. And this is one way to make the owners share more. It's not as direct as the profit sharing he proposed, but certainly this is in keeping with our 75 years of labor law tradition since the New Deal.
Now, I've been referring to this as a proposal, as a plan. What has to happen between now and this idea actually being implemented?
Well, there's a 60-day comment period where your callers and everyone else in the nation can contact the Department of Labor. We have a website. You can come to epi.org and be directed to a website that can help you file comments. They'll collect them, analyze the comments, make any changes they need to make in the proposal, change their economic analysis, and then after repackaging the whole thing, they'll put it out as a final rule, hopefully sometime early next year.
Back to our callers now with Jerry in Central Wisconsin. Jerry, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, I wanted to weigh in on the salary, but one thing to always take into account is the fringe benefits that do come with those salary positions. I did work for the world's largest retail chain, and there was great fringe benefits with it, along with discounts, but when it came down to paying your bills, the entry-level position, I honestly couldn't afford to pay my student loans fresh out of college. And even the top pay bracket for that position was barely over what this new law would establish for the bare minimum. So something to take into account, there's many, many people in this position, and if their entry level is so low, they can't afford to pay their bills, they can't afford to live in the middle class.
So Jerry, it sounds like you're weighing the benefits against the salary there. When you put it all together, do you like this idea?
You know, I actually really do like this idea. I mean, right now with Obamacare, there's many options out there. Granted, the fringe definitely was nice. The people were nice, but when you look at that wage gap in the specific company I was in, to go one step, your wage doubled. To go to the next step, which would be a store manager, from what I was making, would be almost seven times the pay.
All right,
and that gap needs to be brought a little bit closer.
Jerry, thanks a lot for your call. So, Jerry, probably a lot of people in his position at retail stores, those entry-level jobs, he says, not enough to live on, not enough to pay student loans. Would they be some of the people who would be helped, do you think, Ross, by this proposal?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's young people are overwhelmingly the most likely to benefit from this because they haven't had a chance to work their way up to the $50,000 level yet. So, you know, entry-level college jobs were paying more 15 years ago than they are today. So people like him are entering the workforce. They're being paid less than a generation ago, and their loans are enormous. So we really do need to be looking for ways to help them out with labor policy.